Chapter 2. After the Crash. John opened his eyes. He had no idea how much time had passed since the crash, but he guessed it must have been several hours. He looked over at Michael. His co-pilot was lying over the control panel, dead.
"Oh no, Michael!"
John cried. As John opened his seatbelt, he screamed in pain. The seatbelt had cut into his ribs and broken them. He stood up slowly and looked around. What a terrible sight, he thought. John walked slowly to one of the exits. The flames had almost disappeared, but there was a strong smell of burning oil. John wondered if anyone else was alive. As if in answer to his question, he heard a voice.
"Help me! Help me!"
the person cried.
"Wait, I'm coming!" John called out. "I'm coming!"
John could feel the pain in his ribs with every breath he took, but he knew he couldn't think of himself at a time like this. The trees and thick plant life in the rainforest made it difficult to see properly, but some sunlight filtered through a hole left by the plane when it had crashed through the tops of the trees. John was very shocked by what he saw. Dead bodies were lying everywhere. Just then he heard the voice again and walked over to find someone lying under one of the seats, still secured by his seatbelt.
"Get me out of here," said the voice.
John was able to move the seat. He noticed a small cut over the person's eye, but except for that, he appeared to be okay. It was Brunt.
"Brunt, you're alive,"
was the only thing John could say.
"Of course I am, but look at my plane, it's destroyed," said Brunt. "Is that all you can think about?"
John spoke angrily.
"We have to look for survivors." "I don't care about survivors. I'm getting out before the plane explodes," Brunt told John.
"The fire is almost extinguished. There's not much possibility of the plane exploding now," John said as he held his side in pain.
"Come on, Brunt. We must act quickly while there's still a bit of sunlight and we can see what we're doing."
Suddenly, John thought he heard something. Then he saw a small movement under one of the seats.
"Brunt, someone else is alive," he said. "Quick! Help me get the person out."
It was a woman, and with very little help from Brunt, John carefully freed her. Brunt stared at her, but said nothing. It was Jane Dixon.
"Are you okay?"
John asked her. "Yes, I must have been unconscious for some time, but I think I'm okay now. Just a few cuts, nothing more really," she told John. "I'm Jane. I'm a reporter for the Washington Sentinel." John and Jane looked all around to see if any of the other passengers were alive.
"It seems like we're the only ones that survived the crash," said John sadly.
Jane put a hand to her ear.
"Wait," she said. "I can hear something. Listen."
"I can't hear anything," said Brunt. "Let's get out of here."
"There it is again," said Jane. "Didn't you hear it?"
"I heard it too, I'm sure," John answered. "Where are you?" he called out in the direction of the voice.
"Is that you, John?" the voice replied. "It's me, Kathy. I'm over here."
"Are you okay?" called John.
"Yes, I'm fine," Kathy answered. "But I can't get out of here." "Can you see any other survivors there?" Jane called. "No, no, I'm the only one," Kathy replied.
"We have to get her out," John told the others. "Come and help me." "I can't," said Brunt. "I feel ill."
Jane followed John as he slowly made his way to Kathy and helped her out of the plane. She was very grateful to John. She put her arms around him and held him tightly.
Ouch! Cried John. What's wrong? Asked Kathy, worried.
It's my ribs. I think I've broken them, said John, holding his side in pain.
We're all very sorry to hear about your ill health, said Brunt rudely. But I'm more interested in how we'll get out of this place.
Michael sent out a mayday call with our position before we crashed, said John. I'm sure a rescue team will come and look for us soon.
Nobody will find us in this jungle, Brunt declared. And you're responsible for the whole thing. There was nothing wrong with my plane.
Now you listen to me, Brunt, said John angrily. Nobody could have saved your marvellous plane, not even you.
Has anyone got any idea how we're going to get out of here?
Asked Brunt, irritated.
I think our best plan is to find our way to the Amazon River, said John. That way we might be able to find someone who can help us.
Kathy and Jane agreed with John. Brunt was silent for once. John used the direction of the sun and began to navigate a route to the river. They knew it was important to drink sufficient water if they were to survive the walk through the jungle. Fresh water wasn't hard to find. Almost every large leaf was filled with rainwater. But the walk was very difficult. The humid air and the rain, which was sometimes heavy, made them very uncomfortable. Everybody's wet clothes stuck to their bodies. Small monkeys were hanging upside down, high up in the trees. Occasionally, they threw nuts, which fell like heavy stones from that great height. Because of the intense pain in John's ribs, he found it hard to walk for too long, and needed to stop and rest every few minutes.
Can't you go any faster? Asked Brunt cruelly.
You know, Brunt might be right. I think you're going slowly because of me, John said. Perhaps I should rest and then try and meet you later.
No, Kathy insisted. We're all staying together.
I agree with Kathy, said Jane firmly.
It won't help, said John. The pain's getting worse, and soon I won't be able to walk at all.
Now you're being reasonable, Brunt agreed with John. You can meet us at the river.
No, said Kathy. I've already said that we're staying together.
Do you think we're far from the river? Asked Jane. It seems like we've been walking for hours.
The Amazon rainforest is an enormous place, said John. I don't really know how much longer we'll have to walk until we reach the river.
At that moment, Brunt bent down and took off one of his shoes. He threw it on the ground and examined his foot.
I think there was a stone in my shoe, he said.
As he bent down to put on his shoe again, Jane shouted,
Check your shoe!
Brunt knocked the shoe over with his other foot. A scorpion fell out of it and ran under a large rock.
I suppose you expect me to thank you, Brunt said to Jane.
Before Jane could reply, there was a loud noise, like the sound of an animal roaring. It seemed to be nearby.
I think we all agree, John, said Kathy. You're not staying here by yourself with wild animals around.
Don't look now, Brunt said very quietly. But we're being watched. Over there, behind that bush.